true Christian faith involves wonder. It does. True Christian faith doesn't only involve knowing certain facts or ideas about God, but moving beyond those facts and into wonder. But I think often at Christmas time, many of us are so busy with the different things that we're doing that we lose the wonder. We're buying presents and sending cards and cooking and going out here and there, and we say to ourselves, I'm too busy to wonder. We're Mary. We're not Martha. Mary, who was distracted with much serving, and as opposed to being, or Martha, who was distracted with much serving, instead of Mary, who took time to be near Jesus and to listen. As we get older, we get more and more used to Christmas. We lose the imagination and the wonder of a child. Been there, done that. We know the drill. We know what's coming. We know what's going to happen. We know the way it ends. But it's wonder that leads to worship. We don't do either one very much anymore because we're too busy and we're too jaded. Someone once asked the famous preacher D.L. Moody, why do you preach so often? And his answer was, I never lost the wonder. What about you? Have you lost the wonder of being a Christian? How can we discover the wonder, especially at this time of year? There's a huge focus in all of our culture on Christmas. Much of it materialistic, much of it superficial, with lyrics of sort of Christmas songs that don't mention Jesus at all. And it's very easy in our cultural confusion to forget about what Christmas is for. The way to discover the wonder of Christmas is to discover again Jesus. Jesus is the one who causes wonder. When we understand who Jesus is and what Jesus does, we cannot help but wonder. Let's turn now to a text that shows us the wonder, perhaps as well as anyone in all the Bible, about the wonder of Jesus. Let's stand out of respect for God's word as we turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Please follow as I read Matthew 1, 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, there's a depth here of revelation of your plan and your ways that is beyond our fathoming. But there is sufficient here for us to understand that we may have hope and joy. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would move among us now and cause the Word of God to become alive and to burn in us, to teach us to wonder. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Three aspects of wonder. And the first wonder of Christmas is that Jesus came as a child. Last Sunday, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the children's ministries put on a magical musical called Angels Aware. And the musical was an imaginative look at Christmas from the perspective of angels in heaven. And according to this musical, when the angels first heard that God was planning to come to earth, they began to sing, and they began to sing a song in this musical called If It Were Up to Me. And many of you parents who've been hearing this around your home for the last few weeks could probably sing that song from start to finish. But the children sang this song, which reflects the many possibilities that God might have had when he chose to come to this world. And if I may, I'm going to use some of the posters that the children used in their performance as I read you the lyrics of the song they sang. But here's the way the song begins. If it were up to me, I think that he should go as some kind of great hero, someone everyone would know. He would be the greatest of all time, the one and only of a kind, someone folks would stand in line to see. If it were up to me. And the next verse says, he'd be the king of the country, the richest man on earth. Even his sweet little old queen wouldn't know what he's worth. Next verse, he'd be the soldier of Judea. He'd be the soldier of Judea, the leader of his men. He'd win every battle just like old Gideon. He'd free all the people when he walked into Rome. He'd lead the big battalion upon a snow-white stallion. The soldier of Judea, that's how he should go. And then the last one I'm going to illustrate for you. He'd be the greatest musician the world has ever seen. Well, indulge me here. Now, I'm not insisting that Taylor Swift is the greatest musician the world has ever seen, but the lyrics go like this. He'd be the greatest musician the world has ever seen. He'd play the Colosseum, and all the fans would scream. They'd all come to see him from Crete to Jericho. He'd set the world on fire when he plays his lyre. The greatest musician, that's how he should go if it were up to me. Well, I thought this musical did a wonderful job, not only for children, but also for the many adults who were in these seats last Sunday afternoon, of causing us all to think God had every option. God could have come into this world any single way he wanted. He could have come as powerful royalty with a majestic royal entrance. He could have come at the head of armies. He could have come as a great celebrity, packing concert halls and causing people to scream and cry out just at the mention of his name. God didn't choose any of these options. He chose to come as a baby, as an ordinary, well, looking like an ordinary human baby. He chose to be born to a simple girl from a remote village. There was no media fanfare and no ticker tape parade. The greatest wonder, even beyond his coming as a baby, was that he was born to a virgin. This, of course, is an offense to the modern mind. If you rule out the idea of miracles at the outset, you will find this idea impossible to accept. But what if God made this world? What if the kind of God the Bible describes is real? There's no reason the God who made this world could not do a miracle and have his son be born of a virgin. But a legitimate question is, why would he do that? And the best answer we can give is that it reminds us that salvation ultimately comes from God. It shows that Jesus is truly man on the one hand, but truly God on the other. If he had come directly from heaven, we would have wondered, is he really human? If he'd come down like an angel somehow, and maybe there's a pillar of fire that just sort of shot down out of the sky, and then he stepped out of the fire, we'd wonder, is he really like us? Is he really human? Or on the other hand, if he'd come from two human parents, we would have asked, how did God somehow infuse deity into the child? And we would wonder, can he really be God? But the reason, the best reason that we can think that God did it this way is that it made it very clear. He was fully man. Verse 18 and verse 20 say he was born of the Holy Spirit. He came from the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, he was also born of Mary. Now, of course, this led to scandal. Imagine, we had a teenager come and stand up here at the music stand, and she were to give her testimony. And as she was giving her testimony, we could see that she was 8 months pregnant. And she were to stand up here and say, I'm just so glad for the youth ministry at Crossroads Church, because they've taught me all about moral purity. And I've learned here about the importance of waiting until marriage. And I've been to the seminars that teach you to say no to premarital sex and to commit to waiting to marriage. And I've just decided that I want to do that. I'm just finding as I obey God in that area that God is helping me to fulfill that. And the words coming out of her mouth would be impressive, but the distance between the words and the swelling stomach would cause us all to think, is this girl out of her mind? Now imagine being Joseph. Mary, whom he's known to some extent, actually in that culture, men didn't get to know single girls. They didn't spend time with single girls very much. But from what he knew of her, she seemed like a godly child and godly young woman. And we certainly know from her responses in Luke's gospel that when the angel speaks to her and when she speaks, what issues out of her mouth over and over is either scripture or language that's saturated in the Hebrew Bible's teachings. She was definitely a very godly girl. And so Joseph would have heard her come and say, well, Joseph, I am pregnant, but I'm pregnant because of God. How would you have felt? Put yourself in his shoes. Would you have been confused? Angry? That's why verse 20 is here. In verse 20, we see that God sent an angel to Joseph to give him guidance. And he gives him two commands and a prediction. The first command is, in verse 20, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Angel saying, command number one, take her home. Let her be your wife. And then there's a prediction in verse 21. She will give birth to a son. It's actually a helpful prediction because if it comes true, then Joseph can know there's confirmation for Joseph that that really was an angel. What if Mary had given birth to a girl? So there's the command, the prediction, and then another command. When she gives birth to a son, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph quietly obeys. In verse 24, he wakes up and he does what the angel of the Lord commanded him. He takes Mary home as his wife. The baby's born and it is a boy. And Joseph names the son Jesus. Now, if we had time, we could trace Joseph's obedient faith and the way in which obedient faith is pleasing to God all through the Bible. If I had time to go this way with the sermon, and I actually thought about it earlier in the week, what I would talk to you about is the way that obedient faith is the heart of what God wants for us, both at Christmas and all year round. Abraham trusted and obeyed God and offered his son Isaac. Moses trusted and obeyed God and went to Pharaoh. When I was a young Christian, I used to love the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, and I, as a brand new believer, I was reading those over and over and thought, could this really be true? Could this really have happened? And it was helpful to hear the stories, but there was something inside me that wanted to get a hold of the big picture. And I heard sermons and teaching and read books that said, the most systematic exposition of the Christian faith is the book of Romans. And so, as a fairly young Christian, I memorized the book of Romans. And one of the things that to this day rivets me is the way that Romans begins and ends. It begins and it ends with the obedience of faith. Romans 1:5, Paul describes his role as an apostle, and he says, God has made me to be apostle to bring about what? The obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. And then Romans 16, verse 26 ends the same way. God's purpose is through the good news of Jesus that all nations might believe and obey him. Obedient faith. For Joseph, obedience is the door to the wonder of Christmas. Is that your door? So the first wonder then is Jesus came as a child. Secondly, the second wonder is that Jesus came as a Savior. Verse 21 says that Joseph was supposed to give the boy the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Yahweh delivers. We tend to think of Jesus as a helper or as a friend or as our companion. And there is some sense in which that's true. But Matthew is saying here at the very beginning, no. A very important place to begin in understanding Jesus is to know that Jesus is a Savior. Jesus' very name means Yahweh saves. Calvin said, the sole purpose of Jesus Christ's redemption was to save people from sin. Scholars of the book of Luke and Acts, sometimes Acts is called 2 Luke because both Luke and Acts were written by Luke, but Luke is often described as this theologian of the New Testament who talks the most about salvation. And scholars of the book of Luke say the key verse in the whole Gospel of Luke is 19:10. Some of you know that that's the verse that comes at the end of the story about Zacchaeus who went up in the tree and then Jesus called him to come down. And at the end of the story where Zacchaeus offers to give back enormous amounts of money that he's taken by extortion, Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. This man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19:10. You can't understand Jesus unless you understand him as a Savior. Now, the reason that many people in our culture have trouble understanding that is they don't really believe that they're sinful. I'm this way because of my parents. If you knew my background, you'd understand. I talked to a man this week. There's a man who did something that I thought was offensive. Actually, he was a pastor. And he sent me an email, and he came to a meeting that he has never come to in about a year, and I think he came because he wanted a response to his email, which I hadn't given, and he said, why did you not respond? And I said, well, because there are two reasons, and I said, the first reason is I thought what you said was inappropriate. He said, well, that's the way I am. I said, yeah, that's what Chris Christie says, too. That's the way I am. I am this way. I said, people don't have to accept that, do they? And he backed off and apologized and so forth. I didn't enjoy doing that, but the Son of Man came to be a Prince of Peace. And sometimes being a peacemaker means calling people on things that aren't right. If you say, well, this is my background. My parents are this way. I'm just morally challenged. I'm relationally challenged. I am this way. Well, so what? God's standard is different from the way you are. And that's where the whole notion of sin comes from. The Bible is serious about sin. Our culture is not, but God is. In Romans 7:24, Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Jeremiah 17:9, the prophet says, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Romans 3, verse 10. None is righteous, not even one. Total depravity means that our minds and our hearts are tainted by sin. Our best acts are tainted with sin. Selfishness comes in. Pride comes in. Our willfulness comes in. There's an old story about a man who was nearing the end of his life. And in a dream, he saw himself in a room that was surrounded by file cabinets that had 3x5 card drawers. And as he was in his dream and he saw himself in that room, he walked up to one of the drawers and pulled it open, and it was filled with cards. He looked into the drawer and he flipped to one card and he saw his name. And he saw a date. And he saw a little description of something that he'd done on that day. And he realized, this is talking about me. And so he flipped to another place in the drawer and he looked again. And there was his name. And there was a date. And there's the description of something he'd been thinking. And he began to be afraid, and he slammed the drawer shut, and he turned and went to another part of the room and pulled open another drawer. And he looked inside, and he flipped, and sure enough, there was his name and a date and a little description. And he began to realize, this whole room is a record of my life, of everything that I've ever done. Jesus came to write his name on every card in every room. He came as a Savior. The first wonder of Christmas, Jesus comes as a child. The second wonder of Christmas, he comes as a Savior. The third wonder of Christmas, he comes as Emmanuel. There is no greater blessing in all the Bible than the blessing of Emmanuel. To be in the presence of God is the greatest privilege that a human being can experience. Jesus, it says in verse 23, Matthew cites Isaiah, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus brings the presence of God into our world. Jesus said in John 10, chapter 30, I and the Father are one. He said in John 14, 8 and 9, there was some dialogue with Philip, and Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus replied, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. In John 14, 23, Jesus says, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Are you experiencing that? That, my brothers and sisters, is a privilege. I was experiencing some Christmas anxiety this past week. There are a lot of arrangements in my own family with visits from relatives and so forth. There are many things at church to be done before the end of the year. And then we found out on Monday night that we had no place to have our services on the 25th and also January 1st. And I was experiencing a fair amount of anxiety. It was sort of like a low-level fever that I had from about Tuesday morning on through around Thursday. But on Thursday, I was having my devotions, and I happened to read a verse in Romans 5, verse 1. And it says, Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What that means is because of Jesus' salvation, we can have all of our sins forgiven. His name is written across the 3x5 cards of our lives. And so we're justified. And what the verse says is, and I read it once, I read it a second time, I read it a third time, and then in my prayer time after I read the Bible, I just went over that verse over and over in my mind. I'm justified by faith. I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Do you? In the midst of work stress and school stress and family stress, we need to know that God is right here with us. He's Emmanuel. When you understand what God has done so that Jesus can first come as a child, that he came as a Savior, and he came as Emmanuel, that, my brothers and sisters, will cause you to have wonder. The God who made the heavens has come to live among us Emmanuel. Let's pray. Our Father,